Tier sponsor Levi Nishmas Sviber of Chayim, entitled to Levi Nishmas Tonight's Yard Site. So the case that you saw in the email, I'll say it the way the Marik says it, but we can think of contemporary terms. There was an argument between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven had sent Shimon to, Shimon was going anyway, so Reuven had given Shimon some books to take on his trip. And when Shimon arrived in Alexandria, Egypt, he, for some reason, did not declare that he had these books. And since he didn't declare he had these books, they were confiscated. Now that would seem upshita, that you should, if you're supposed to declare, there's a sign saying you're supposed to declare anything you're bringing in the country, he didn't declare that he was bringing it in. So that should be a pshia, so that should be an open shut case. Except Shimon says, if I had known that these books were subject to customs, if I knew that, it could be that I knew they had to declare them, but if I knew that there would be a fine for them, he got fined for that also, I would have never taken them. I don't want to deal with government people. So because of that, he says, I don't want to, shouldn't have to pay. I didn't even want this to start with.
Shimon was the transport.
But he's the one traveling. Right, so that's the question. I just review last week's, let's review last week's here quickly because there was a someone added. I remember last week it was also talking about transportation. Reuven and Shimon were going to Yeshiva, and Reuven asked Shimon to take the suitcase for him, and Shimon left it in the luggage compartment in the bus. So we said last week that Shimon was patur, because even though there's a rule, if I ask you where the pikadon is, and you say you don't know where it is, anyone that says I don't know where it is called a poshaya. That's because when I give you something, you have to, when you put it down, you should put it down someplace where you're going to remember where it is. And if it's someplace where you have a safek, where it, that you might not remember, you should write down where you put it and be smart about it. By you not writing it down or putting it in a place where you remember, you're a poshaya. But stam, if someone forgets something, if someone just forgets, I forgot to take it off the bus, so that we said, according to most poskim, shikha is not a poshaya in general. It's either a shogeg, maybe even an onus, and he'd be pater. So someone pointed out, we were sure on Shabbos, that it's a yitzchai, the shomer. He took the pikadon, and he put it in a safe place, and he wrote down where he was putting it. But then he forgot where he put the paper that described where he had placed it. So then he'll be pater. Right? Because the only chiyah we said, forgetting is not pshiyah. Forgetting is not pshiyah. The pshiyah is putting it in a place where you're not going to remember. Putting my pikadon in a place where you don't remember where it is. So over here, you didn't do that. You put it in a place where you would remember because you wrote it down. Your mistake was that you forgot where you put the paper down. So that you're not pushay on. So that you should be part of that someone brought up. I think he's right. Okay, so that's Chazar from last week. So back to our case, where here it is a real poshaya. It wasn't just shikha. Here he didn't forget. It's not that he forgot. Here he was supposed to declare customs. Because he didn't declare customs, the books were confiscated. If he had declared, so then he would have had to pay a certain amount, and he would have gotten reimbursed from Reuven, but he failed to declare it. Because he failed to declare it, Reuven lost his books completely, and it seems like he had to pay a fine also because of that. So Reuven wants his money back. So the Marik wanted to say that there's two reasons why he should be patur. Two different Gemaras. The Marik first brings the Gemara in Baba Kama Dav Samach Beis. Amar Rava, Hanosin Dinner Zahav Li'isha, if someone gives a golden dinner to a woman, as that she should be the Shomer. Varmalani told her, Hizariba, be careful with it, very valuable, shall cast it with silver. So Hezikasa, if she damages it, Mishalem is in her Zahav, she's hired to pay the full value, she's a Mazik. Because you can tell him, what do you have against the coin that you decided to damage? But suppose she didn't actually go physically masik it, but pasha bo, she was posheya in it. She just didn't watch it carefully. She left it in the open and it got taken. Then mishalemis shel kesef. She only has to pay the value of a silver dinner. To amar lei, because she can tell him, nitirusa de kasno kibiyola. I only accept it upon myself to watch guard, to safeguard a silver dinner, like you told me. I didn't have in mind to watch a golden dinner. So you see from this Gemara that Marik says that whenever you don't know what you're being a shomer on, you think you're being a shomer on the silver one. And it's really gold. You only have the responsibility on what you thought you were a shomer on. So over here, since Ruve didn't tell Shimon that these books, you have to pay mechitz on them. You have to pay customs. Here's the money you have to pay when you get there. Because he figured that if he told Shimon that, maybe Shimon wouldn't decide now he doesn't want to get involved with that. So since Shimon didn't know, and that's a shy whether we have to say Reuven was really posheya in that. Marek says he was posheya in it. But since Reuven didn't tell Shimon, Shimon didn't know about it. Shimon didn't know that these books were subject to mechitz. He only was mekabel shmira on things that aren't subject to customs. Had he known that they were subject to custom, so then he would be liable like a dinner is up, like both. He thought it was something like silver. He thought it wasn't something that was subject to customs. So that's the Marik's first taina, that you can't make him chayev more than what he accepted upon himself, the shmira. And that's the first Gemara. So at that point, he at least had to pay for what books that are not subject to customs are chayev. It could be the ones that are, some books you don't have to pay customs for, some books you do have to. So he'd have to pay for the value of these not so valuable books, the ones that you don't have to pay customs for. Like right now in Eretz Yisrael, you have to pay customs on Hebrew Svarim that you take to Eretz Yisrael, but you don't have to pay for English books. Right? So you take a box and he didn't realize that they were Hebrew, that they're subject to custom. So he's only subject to pay for what the English ones would be worth. Let's say the Hebrew ones would be worth more, but he wouldn't be high for the Hebrew ones. But then the Marik takes it one step further. He brings another Gemara Bava Kama. And from there he wants to say he's part of completely. Gemara has a bride, so Tana Rabbanan. Sha'alo Becheskas Tam. Here we're talking about a shomer. But the same thing applies to any shomer. He borrowed an ox, assuming that it was a tam. Right, the halacha is, if an ox has not gored three times, it's a tam. If it gores the first time already, it's a tam. If it gores three times, then it's a muad, and it requires a bigger shmira. Right, if a tam damages, you have to pay half nezer. If a muad damages, you have to pay full nezer. So he borrowed a ox, assuming that it was a tam. Binim some muad, but it ended up that it really was a muad. He had been misled. So, in that case, if that ox goes and damages because he didn't watch it properly, so he has to pay half a nezek, like we said before, the chora. He only thought it was a tam, so he's paying the half nezek he would have been had it really been a tam. And the owners have to pay the other half of the damage. The Gemara has a kasha. Correct the Gemara, v'amai, le'malei, let him tell the owner, Torah she'ili. I was planning on borrowing an ox. Aryeh lo she'ili. I wasn't planning on borrowing a lion. Right? So he's saying, I didn't want this muad here. I wanted to borrow a tam. I thought this was a tame little kitten that I could just leave out. And I thought that I could just even leave the door open and it wouldn't hurt anyone. If had you told me that it was a lion, it could be that I wouldn't have taken it, or it could be that I would have watched it better. So the Gemara says that in truth that is a good time, except over here, we're talking here, he became aware, he knew that the ox was a nachan, he just didn't realize it was a muad. He knew it was dangerous, so he should have watched it as a dangerous ox. The Gemara then asked, so then he should at least only be five as a tam and not as a muad. So the Gemara goes through that. But from the Gemara's kasha, and it will be halacha l'maisa, the Gemara is saying that had he not known that it was a dangerous ox, he thought it was a little kitten, he thought it was tame, and he thought he could keep it around without it damaging anyone, so he would not be chayiv at all. He wouldn't be chayiv at all. He wouldn't even be chayiv chatzin nezek.
Why is this any different than the case of an owner of who could say the same thing. I took the proportions I thought were necessary for this ox.
Well, if he had, it wouldn't have damaged.
Right, if someone could say the same thing.
No, here he didn't take any precautions. Here he just left the door open, which is really a mistake under all circumstances. Right, if he was the owner and left the door open, so then he'd be fired. Here he's saying, I don't want to be fired because I thought it was a tam. And this is what the Maharik says. You see from here, even though if it was his, he would have been Hoshea, he would have been chayav for leaving the door open. But since he could say, I didn't want to borrow a lion at all, I had no idea that it was a lion, so then not only is he potter for something that would happen, you know, that he controlled thinking it was a tam, and then it broke out and became a lion, he's even potter for a pshia that he did had it been a tam. In other words, the Maharik learns from this Gemara that there's a halacha called Shmira Betos. Right? We know that, we learned later, a lot of cases of Mekach Tos. If I buy something under false pretenses and I find out that it wasn't exactly the way I thought, even though I took it home and paid for it and even used it, the moment I find out that it wasn't as advertised, I say it's a Mekach Tos, I return it. Right? There's Hektish Betos. I say I'm going to give something to Hektish and then I realize that a mistake. So also you can be showing all that Hektish. It's not real Hektish. So from here, the Maharik says the same thing is by Shmira. There's a din called Shmira Betos. If I accept upon myself to be a Shomer, but then I realized that Shmira was under false pretenses, there was something not right about it. I was accepting it as a Tam. You told me it was tame. Then I find out it's a lion. I find out that it's wild. So I died to Dahachi, I didn't want to become a Shomer. I was not becoming a Shomer under such conditions. Since I wasn't becoming a Shomer under such conditions, so even if I'm Posheya, I'm not going to be Chayiv. Only a Shomer is Chayiv for Pshia. But here I'm not a Shomer. I did not accept upon myself to be a Shomer under such conditions. So the Maharik says the same thing in his case, that Shimon could say, even though I was Posheya, it was real Pshia, and not claiming not declaring these books at customs, but since if I had known that they were subject to payments of customs, and you had to pay for my customs, it wasn't just a matter of declaring. Had I known that you have to actually pay, so I didn't want to get involved with that, because I didn't want to get involved with paying government officials. It wasn't so pleasant in those days. So since I wouldn't have accepted it under those circumstances, I'm not a shomer at all, and even though I'm a kusheya, I'm not chai, because I'm not your shomer. Normal svarim are not subject to paying nefes. These svarim were subject to payments, but all books, it seems, this is where they understand the shayla, all books you had to declare. Some of them you could just declare and walk through. These were special, valuable ones that you had to declare and pay for. He knew he had to declare, and that he was kosheya in not declaring. He did not know that they were the ones that had to have a payment on them. There were duties on them. So then he could say, had I known that there were duties on them, I wouldn't have wanted to take them at all. So you tricked me, or I was misled, even if it wasn't a kosheya on the other person's part. I wouldn't have taken them. So since I wouldn't have taken them, I don't have all these rules of shomer coming down on me, and I shouldn't be fired. But that's what the Maharik says. And this is paskind by the Ramah, the last thing on the first page of the handout. Shimon kiva svarim and Reuven lahalif from the Mokamacher. Shimon accepted these books from Reuven to take them to another place. The milkul kodemeches. They were confiscated at the customs. The Omer, and Shimon now says, she Reuven pasha is Reuven's fault. Shama shein osim meches misvarim. He said, you don't have to pay duty customs for those books. And if that were not, so he wouldn't have accepted it upon himself. He ain't returned to the trial, but Dover Mechzi doesn't want to bother with customs. Hadinim Shimon, so Shimon is correct. I think another application of this halacha would be that if someone goes away and asks you to watch their dog for them, and they say it's very easy to take care of, just feed it once in the morning and once a night, and then you find out that it barks all night, and it, you know, you can't sleep, and you find out there were a lot of things that they didn't tell you about it. So I died to the hachi, you wouldn't have been a shomer, you wouldn't have accepted such a shmira. So even if you're a poshe, you're not allowed to be mazik if you're a dayan. But if you're a poshe, if you happen to leave the door open and it escapes, so it could be you wouldn't be chayiv because you're not a shomer. Even though you shouldn't have done that, even if it don't behave properly, right? Even if the pshia isn't in that thing that you got tricked on. You were pesheya completely, but the fact that you're not a shomer, since you were not have become a shomer under such circumstances, so that turns you into a regular person who's not a shomer, who's not chayiv on pshia, and you're only chayiv your mazik, your dayim. But if you just escape, then through your pshia, you wouldn't be chayiv. That's, I think, a clear application of the Ma'arik's halacha. Okay, so there are those that disagree with the Ma'arik. The Shari Mishpat takes issue with both of the Ma'arik's riots. The first one about the lion case, that's actually the second one we said. The one about the Rai brings about, if I had known it was a lion, I wouldn't have accepted it. There you can learn the Gemara by saying that his Pshia caused the Hezek. Right? And that's what Rashi says, I thought it was a ton, and that's why I thought I could leave the door open, even though that's not customary to do, but because I thought it was a tame animal, that's why I left the door open. And that's why I'm not chayiv, because I was misled. I thought all along that it was a tom. Now that I see it was a mu'ah, that's why it escaped. If it had been a tom, it wouldn't have escaped. There was the thing that you misled me in is what caused the loss. If I had known that it was really a tom, if it had really been a tom, it wouldn't have escaped. The only reason it escaped and damaged was because it was a mu'ah. And that I didn't know it was. So you can't learn from there to the case of the Narik, where he was stam posheya, where he was posheya, having nothing to do with the fact that it was subject to customs. He was just negligent in not declaring it like he should. Right? The case in Bava Kamma by the Tam, there, the only reason the damage was caused could be because it was a mu'ad. And the mu'ad is what goes out and makes damage. Tam wouldn't have gone out and made the damage. So it's a kasha on that Gemara. And then the kasha on the second Gemara, right, the case of the gold and the silver, he adds a kasha on the Ma'arik from the same Gemara that the Ma'arik had a raya. Right, if the Ma'arik holds that whenever you get something to watch under false pretenses, it's called a shmira betos, and you're not considered a shomer at all, so why when the man told the woman, this is a silver coin, and it was really gold, so she was really accepting it under false pretenses. She thought it was a silver coin, and it was really a gold coin. So why is it that when she's posheya, she's chayiv to pay for a silver coin, she should be patur completely? She shouldn't be considered a shomer at all. She took it under false pretenses. She thought it was silver. She didn't know it was gold. She shouldn't be considered a shomer at all, and she should be patur completely. That's the pasha, second pasha of the line. How would you answer that? But the Erev Shai says like this. He says like this. Suppose, let's answer the question from the silver and gold first. Right? He's asking Akasha, if taking a shmir on the false pretenses makes you not a shomer, so why is it when you took the silver coin when you thought it was, you took the gold coin when you thought it was silver, you're chayiv at least for a silver coin, which you say you're pater because it's false pretenses. So he says like this. Suppose the makid had told, suppose the man had told the woman, this is a gold coin, but you only be responsible for it as if it were a silver coin. You're only responsible for the value of a silver coin. And she took it. So certainly, she would have no problems with that. She would take it. There would be no difference. There's no difference to her whether it's really a silver coin, like he told her, or it's a gold coin, which he tells her, you're only responsible as if it was a silver coin. She has no problem with that. But over here, if the Reuben had told Shimon, I'm giving you these books that are subject to duty. You have to pay for them, but I'm only making you responsible as if they were books that weren't subject to duty. So then Shimon will say, no, I don't want to take them. I don't want the tircha of paying duty to government officials. Right? So that's why the Ma'arik calls it Shmira Batal is because he says, I didn't want to have such a tircha. In the case of the silver and gold coin, the tircha is the same. There's no difference whether you're washing a silver coin or a gold coin. The difference might be, how much responsibility do you want to take? So over here, if she's only going to be responsible, like a silver coin, it's no different than if you had told her up front, it's really a gold coin, but I'm only making you responsible as if it were a silver coin. So that's why the Gemara is no kasha on the Ma'arib. The Gemara is talking where there's no difference in tircha. It doesn't make a difference whether you're washing a silver one or a gold one. She's only responsible for a silver one. But when it comes to taking something which is subject to paying duty, so in that case, he could say, I wouldn't have taken it at all had I known it. Like the Pisei Choshen goes one step further. Suppose he tells him, I have some hot merchandise that I want you to take across. I just stole it and I want you to sneak it across. Now I know it's a little bit risky, so that's why if you get caught, I'll only make you responsible as if it was regular merchandise, not this hot merchandise that's worth so much. So certainly the Shomer would say, I'm sorry, I don't want any parts of this. So if he didn't tell him that it was hot, he just said, here, take this, he didn't say it was illegal, take this merchandise across. And when he gets it, he finds out that it's illegal, certainly the Shomer could say, I didn't want to be a Shomer. I don't want to be a Shomer taking something illegal that I can get caught from. And I did get caught. And so in that case, even had the Shomer been Poshaya, he would not be responsible. So that's the way that Avshai answers the first Kasha. We're still left with the second Kasha. Right, the Marik's whole Raya, the whole principle of the Din, that only makes you like part from that extra part. But the Marik took it a step further. He brought a raya from the Gemara, the Tam and the Muad, that whenever you take a shmira by mistake, on false pretenses, you're not a shomer at all. Just like this person, he said, who thought he was getting a Tam, and ended up being a Muad, so the Gemara says he's part of it completely, the way the Gemara would end up. But the Sharon Mishmet answer on that, there's no raya from that Gemara, because over there, the Shia was directly a result of the fact that it was a Muad. Because if it had really been a Tom, it wouldn't have escaped. It would have just stayed there. And it's only because it was a Muad that it escaped and damaged someone. Right? That was the Sharmish for Kasha. And then Marit. So the Arab Shai answers that Kasha also. He says, there's a halacha in Hilchos Shomrim. There's a halacha in Hilchos Shomrim that if you're watching something and there's a Shaila, why it got destroyed, whether it was through a pshia or maybe it wasn't because of the pshia. The halacha is, if we can say that your pshia is what caused the loss, so then you're chayiv. We don't have to prove the pshia caused the loss, as long as we can say it's because you left the door open, right? You left the door open, and the ganav came and took it. It could be that even if he had locked the door, he would have broken it in and gotten it. Even if he kept it in the trunk, he would have stolen the car and taken it. Right? But we don't say that. We say, since you left the door open, unlocked, and someone went and took it, you're considered a poshaya, because you left it unlocked, so you're a poshaya. So same thing over here. The Erev Shai says, since we could say, you're pshia leaving the door open, leaving the gate open is what let the ox go out and damage, even though it's a tom. But you have no proof that if it was a tom, it would have stayed indoors. A lot of times, the first time an ox goes, it's unexpected. It runs out and damages. If the door is locked, it can't get out. So you can't say, like the Shaman Mishmah said, that we're sure that because it only damaged because it was a muad, but if it had been a tom, it wouldn't have damaged. It could have damaged even if it was a tom. So since you are posheya, why aren't you chayiv in that case? Why aren't you chayiv? So that the Gemara says, and this is the Marik's Raya, because the only reason you could be potter is because I say the whole shmira was under false pretenses. I wouldn't have become a shomer had I known it was a muad. The only reason I'm potter is because it's false pretenses. You can't, the Shai Mishmah said maybe you're putter because he tricked you. You did enough to watch it as a tom, and the only reason it damaged was a muad. The Erev Shai says the burden of proof is upon the shomer. since you did something, you left the gate open, we can say it's because you're a Pashea that you left the gate open that it went in damage. You have to prove that no, it wouldn't have damaged had it really been a Tan. That the burden of proof is on you. Nevertheless, the Gemara says that you're Pater. So if the Gemara says you're Pater, it must be, like the Maharik says, that whenever you took something to watch under false pretenses, you're not a Shomer at all, and even if you're a Pashaya, you'll be Pater. So that's the way he defends the Maharik. So the Ramah holds that way, the Ereshai defends it, even though the Shari Mishpat Machan Ephraim disagree with him. It would seem that the Maharik would be the Halacha. Of course, the question brings a shuv for the Maril Diskin, a similar application of this halacha. The Reuven had asked Shimon to take some clothes to a certain city and drop them off over there. And when he got to the city, he found out that these clothes were out of style. No one wanted them, no one even take them. And he had to schlep them back. Now, died to the halacha, he agreed to take the clothes to the other city. He hadn't agreed to take them back. And on the way back, he was Poshaya, and they got taken. So the Maril Diskin says the same idea. Since the whole thing was Betos, since the whole thing was a Shmira Betos, so he's not called a Shomer at all. So even though there was a Pshia, he's not Chai because he's not a Shomer. That's another application of this halacha. Kalkas Yoav brings a machlokas Rishonim. Why is it that a Shomer is Chayiv? What makes a Shomer Chayiv? So he says, Tosfos holds that Tosfos in Ksuva says that a Shomer is Chayiv. Right, why is a Shomer Chinuch Chayiv only for Shia, and a Shomer is Chayiv Gneva Veda, and a Shomer Chayiv for Onus? So why is it like that? A Shomer is Chayiv for Onus. So Tosfos says, because the Torah thought about what people are like, and the Torah assumes that a Shomer Chinam accepts upon himself only to be chayiv for Pshia, a Shomer Sofer accepts upon himself only to be chayiv for Gneva Veda, and a Shomer accepts even to be chayiv for Onus. So according to that reason, if he hadn't intended to become a Shomer, so then the Torah assumes that had he known that it was really this object that he wasn't interested in taking, he wouldn't have accepted any responsibility, even the responsibility of Shia. But other Rishonim, he says, most of the Kaimonim disagree with Tosfos, and they hold that there is a Chiyuv, it's a Gzeres HaKasim, that if you're a Shomer Chinam, you're Chayiv for Shia. If you're a Shomer Sofar, you're Chayiv for Gneva Veda. If you're a Shomer, you're Chayiv for Yonah. It's a Gzeres HaKasim. So it could be, he says, it could be the Machan Ephraim, those that disagree with the Maharik hold that that's the pshat in what a Shomer is. A Shomer is as soon as you're watching something, so are you getting paid? You're chayiv gneva veda. You're not getting paid, you're chayiv for pshia. We don't care what was in your mind, whether you accepted upon yourself, because it doesn't depend on your acceptance or non-acceptance. There's a gzeres hakasim. Whenever you're watching someone else's property, you have certain responsibilities. If you're not getting paid, if you're pshia, you're chayiv. If you are getting paid, you're chayiv for gneva veda. So he says that could be what the Machan Ephraim and the Shari Mishpat hold, that they hold that as soon as if you are watching this object, you're watching these books, so then you're chayiv for your pshia. Whether you would have accepted it, we don't care about your pretenses, what you thought you were accepting. The Maharik, though, he says, would be holding like Tosfos, who says the whole chiyuv of Shomer is dependent on what the Torah holds a normal person would feel responsible for. So since this person wouldn't have felt responsible at all for such a object, so he wouldn't have accepted any Shemira, he wouldn't have accepted a touch with a 10-foot pole, so then he's not even chayiv for a pshia. So it ends up that the Maharik does seem to pass in this halacha, that if you take something to watch under false pretenses, there's a Shaila Mishpat Shlomo has that someone was watching all the things the children brought to school, and some children brought in some illegal things they weren't allowed to have there, and then he was Poshaya, and it got stolen. So there also, he wouldn't have been, if he had known that this was illegal to be in school, he wouldn't have been a Shomer on it. Right, so anytime we receive something as a Shomer under false pretenses, so then even if the Pshia is not caused by, Pshia isn't caused by that mistaken assumption. It was a completely different thing, according to my Rick or Potter, because a Dai Tzedachi wouldn't have taken it. The other cases that we saw were where it's not complete false pretenses that I wouldn't have taken it at all, like where he gives her the silver coin, the gold coin, saying it's silver. There she's still chayav for a silver coin because it's not such false pretenses that she wouldn't have taken under such circumstances. If he had told her, it's gold, but I'm only making you responsible as if it was silver, she would have taken it. So in that case, we said, the Gemara says, that she will be chayav as silver. The Marik's halacha, the way that Aruch Shai explains it, is talking where it's something that, had I known it involved that tircha, I wouldn't have accepted it at all. I wouldn't have wanted to watch that dog at all had I known that it was such a problem to take care of. I wouldn't have accepted that plant that you brought into my house for me to take care of had I known it was such a problem. In those cases, so then, even if I was a psheya afterwards, so then I am I'm potter, even if the psheya was not directly a result of the mistaken information that I had.